On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
My goodness. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is all your fault. I had nothing to do with this. You clicked on me. You bear the consequences. You're totally responsible for this. Don't come back at me. Don't say, Ron, that really was ridiculous. You chose it. Maybe you'll think twice next time. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single freaking weekday. I've been doing it on the radio for about 28 years and then decided to go to the podcasting when all the stations seemed to be going off the air because of selling out. So I went into the podcast business, started my own podcast network, and here I am. With audiences all over the country, and there's actually, see, when you do a podcast, it's kind of interesting because you can tell immediately who's listening to the show. I mean, not your name and your shoe size or anything. Well, not your shoe size, but I can tell how many people are listening in Montana, which is like nothing. We actually have an incredibly good size audience in Sweden. What did I do that was Swedish? I have no idea. But anyway, it's fun to do this, and thanks for listening. And you may think it's free. You'll get a bill in the mail for recurring charge. Not a big deal. It's worth it, I'm telling you. Plenty of prizes can be won on this show. For example, I haven't come up with any ideas yet, but you'll be winning something someday, somewhere. I got hooked on something. Well, actually, I didn't get hooked. I got hooked for a small period of time. There's a thing called Keno. Are you aware of that? No, it's not the diet thing. It's not the Keno diet. This is Keno. It's run by state lotteries all across the country. And what you do is you take a dollar or two or whatever, and you bet on a certain number of numbers coming up. And your prize is that you might get your money back. I think that's pretty much the theory behind the whole thing. It's very engaging. You always think like you're going to win a lot of money, and you never, ever do. You win small amounts if you win anything, so then you figure, well, it's a small amount. I'll just reinvest it, and I'll make a bigger amount like I thought I would to begin with. And then you lose that, and then you walk away not only with nothing, you lose money. This is the Keno diet. This is horrible. It's called gambling. Gambling is just awful, man. You're gambling away money you could be using to pay bills or put your kids through college or pay the prostitute. Why are you wasting money like this? God. We're weird about money. We always think the only way to make it is to take a chance. Yeah, it's like the stock market. That's a chance now. That's like playing Keno. You take a certain amount of money, you put your money on a company, and you let it roll, baby. And sometimes you can win, and then you leave it alone, and then you find, uh-oh, I'm losing now. Now I better get out, and then you've lost money. It's all gambling. Everything's gambling. You get married, it's a gamble. A big gamble. That most people lose, especially the guys who have to pay alimony and child support. Everything's gambling. But you have to gamble to win. The Massachusetts State Lottery has a slogan, and it may be in other states as well. I don't live in other states, but you can't win if you don't play. Well, it should be, you can't lose all your money if you don't play, because that's pretty much what happens. And when you gamble, they have this gigantic poster and this gigantic warning that if you have a gambling addiction, call this number. It's a horrible disease. which is balls to me. It's like you're giving somebody like heroin, and then as you're giving it to them, you say, you know, heroin is very addictive. If you have a problem with heroin addiction, call me. Well, you're giving me the heroin. Of course I'm going to have the heroin. I'm just telling you as a disclaimer. You can't sue me now. It's a ridiculous thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. And when you stop and think about it, it's just absolutely stupid. I have something. I'm going to take a chance and give it away to you. I'm going to give you the money in the hopes that you'll give me more money back. Oh, that'll happen. Yeah, that's the idea of it. That's right, yeah. That's why we formed this little game. You give me money, I don't give it back to you. That's the game we're playing, and you constantly do it. What are you, stupid? What do you gain from this? Now, most people, when they go gambling at a casino, casinos make it very glitzy because they try to make it entertainment, because they throw out the fact that if you go to gambling a casino and you throw all your money away, that's a night of entertainment. That's entertainment to you? I'd rather go see a terrible play or a bad movie than at least I sat there for a little while and thought it might be good. Gambling, you know you're going to leave with nothing most of the time, if not all the time. What kind of entertainment is it to lose your money for nothing? What'd you do Saturday night, Bob? Oh, it's great. I went to this place, I took my money out of my wallet, I fed it into a machine, then I went home. Did you get any pleasure out of it? No. Well, then why'd you do it? I don't know. I got caught up. Casinos never have clocks on the wall. Oh, that's because they don't manipulate you? It's because they do manipulate you. They don't want you to know what time it is. Oh, my God. I've got to get home. The sitter can only stay till 10 o'clock. I've got to get home. Not if you don't have a clock on the wall. Casinos are funny. See, clocks on the wall don't work anymore. Not having clocks on the wall. People have cell phones. They wear watches. What are you, stupid? They don't know what time it is. They don't know where they are. Yes, they do. They have cell phones. Give me a break. It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid. And why do casinos have to be so glitzy? Why do they have to like be so shiny and brighty and lighty and stuff? Because they want to dazzle you. Let me tell you, that doesn't dazzle me. That makes me throw up. Flashing lights. Some people have conditions, you know. They can't take the flashing lights and all the noise and all the ladies. This is funny. It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's true. It's funny, but it's not funny. When you go to the slot machines, did I say slut by mistake? When you go to the slot machines, you will find a busload of women who are over 80 years old, wearing glasses on chains around their neck, and every one of them has throat cancer or some type of horrible throat disease, to the point where, I'll only be here for another 3 minutes. And those are the women. Why do they all sound the same and look the same? Is life that bad? Is there nothing else to do? You can't say I go to the casino to look at pretty women, because no, they're all in iron lungs. They're not pretty. They have had a very hard life, and they're making sure that the end of their lives are just as hard. All they have is the possibility of winning some money. That's their income. And yet the states and the government are the ones that are taking the money from you. If this was a true loving government, a true loving bureaucracy, there would not be gambling that is sanctioned by the state or by the government. It wouldn't be. I mean, why would they nurture your gambling problem? But they do. Because states have to make money.
We can't exist just on tax revenues.
we're going to have to somehow lure you to just throw away all the money you need to survive and give it to us. That's the state that you live in. Wow, that's harsh. That's pretty harsh. I've talked about many times going into convenience stores. By the way, they're not all that convenient at all. And the reason that they're not convenient is the damn lottery thing. Every time you want to run in and get a quick sandwich or a pack of gum or something like that, or a hot dog or whatever you get out of your little convenience store, it's not convenient. You can't just run up to the counter, pay for it, and be out of there. There's always like 23 schmucks standing in front of you who spend all day standing in a convenience store trying to scratch tickets to walk away with a couple of more bucks than what they walked in with, which doesn't happen. It's like a convenience store casino. Look, I have no problem with what you want to do with your life, and I'm not putting you down. Maybe some listeners actually do that for a living. Whatever, okay? I'm just telling convenience store owners, have a separate line. Have a separate line. Don't make me stand there while the person in front of me is spending 10 minutes saying, give me $6 of number 23. Give me $7 worth of Lucky for toilets. Give me three of those tickets for Strike My Butt. Give me $20 for life expectancy. Give me three of those tickets for Lick My Face, Lucky Millions, Unlucky Dollars, Fishing for Cash, Looting for Nothing, Propping Up My Sister for Money. Give me those tickets. And then they scratch them right there and they say, all right, I want to cash this in and give me 17 Plant Me for Life, Scratch My Butt, give me $6 for Prop Up My Mother with a Bank Account. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. Now there are casinos popping up all over the United States. So now if people want to throw their money away, I guess it's a democracy. Go do it. Well, how about let's start personal casinos? Why do I have to be sanctioned by the state? If gambling is legal, why can't I do Ron's Casino? Here's the deal. This is how this works. You send me $100. And one of the people, if I get like 100 people giving me $100, one of you will get your $100 back and I will pocket everything else. That's the game. Let's all play. Well, I'd be a millionaire within a very short period of time. That's the way this works. You give me money. I don't give it back to you. Maybe I will a little bit. That's the game. That's what gambling is. It's hope. It's hope. We all have to have a tiny piece of hope in us. Hope was also the name of my first girlfriend back in junior high. Ooh, what an odd name for this woman. There was hope, and then there wasn't. But we all have to live with some glimmering possibility, right? Till Trump became president, then I realized that doesn't even work. No, there is no hope. There is no glimmering piece of possibility. But that's what we live off of. That's what excites us. Nothing's working out. Things aren't very good, but I have this little glimmering shimmer of hope that's so far down the road I can hardly see it. I need binoculars to see this glimmering little shining things of hope. But we have to hope for something. Something's got to be there. So that's what gambling is.
Well, Ron, that was really ridiculous.
Well, I know, but I mean, I try to find things that we all have in common. We all have an addiction to hope, except for pessimists. They see things differently. Pessimists have no hope. You give them a piece of hope, they'll knock hope down. There is no hope in a pessimist's life. Then there's the optimist, where everything is hopeful. Nothing's bad. If something bad happens, well, that was a learning experience. I guess that's true. It's true, but it's not a positive learning experience if you do it again and you fail again and you get screwed again. That's not, then you learn anything from the teachable moment, then you should become a pessimist because it isn't going to work out. Then there's the pessimist who knows that they're a pessimist. They don't believe anything is going to happen. So when something actually does happen, they are pleasantly surprised. That's the other kind. I think that's me. I think I'm a little bit of both sides, actually. I'm an optimist. I always believe that the best will happen. It never does. So I become a pessimist, and I believe that nothing good will ever happen. But when something good does happen to happen, I'm surprised pleasantly. That's the way we do it. What is the expression? Is the glass half empty or half full? And my response is, why is it half anything? Why are you just giving me a half a glass of something? If it's half full or half empty, it's still half of still a half. Give me the whole thing. Why are we playing with halves here? Are they being stingy on the liquor? See, to me, any kind of liquid eventually becomes liquor. Ron, do you have a problem? No. It's just if you're going to drink something, it might as well be a happy thing. Ron, you know, you should drink a gallon of water every day. Yeah, right, yeah. That's nice, that's nice. You get over a certain age, drinking a gallon of anything, you'll be on the toilet for 7 weeks. The only way to offset that is to eat a lot of cheese. Then you'll be pissing your brains out for a year, but never pass any solid waste. That's like that's a bowel problem of immense proportions. Gallons of water and pounds of cheese. What a fight that would be with my body. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Be a problem. Problem and a half. Or is it half a problem or half of a good thing? There's a good question that I don't know the answer to. I don't think I ever will.
You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the gentle, fast-acting laxative of the podcast world. Don't you feel better already?
You need me. You need a laxative. I will give you the runs, and I'll do it gladly. I will give you runs that you thought you never could have. But first, it's time to gain your attention again if you may have fallen asleep or swollen a feet. It's time for me to hold up a picture of a tiny little puppy dog.
Aww.
I know. Look at that dog. Beautiful. What a beautiful creature. Look, no, look, the dog is cocking its head. Aww. Oh, no. That head cock. I have to learn that little doggy head cock. You know, when you say something to a dog and it's like they don't understand you and they cock their head a little bit.
Aww.
I know. It's so adorable. Why don't people cock their heads at all? Why can't I become a head cocker? A lot of people have said that I am a head cocker, but I don't believe it in the sense of a dog kind of look. Next time somebody says something to you that is like oddly of wonderment that you don't understand, like, I think Trump is a wonderful president. Next time you hear that, just cock your head to the side.
Aww.
And look at them in wonderment. And everything is diffused. Now you will become adorable. You ever want to be attractive to women? If you're a guy, cock your head in front of a woman. Wait till she asks you a question. Like, why were you ever born? Why are you standing there in front of me? Why don't you get that sore taken care of? Those kinds of questions. Don't respond verbally. Just cock your head to the side. It'll work.
Aww.
They will feel compassion for you. You'll remind them of a dog cocking its head. Would I find a woman cocking her head to be adorable? At first I would. The second time, not as much as the first time. The third time, a little less than the second time. The fourth time, not so much. The fifth time, some great amount of disdain. I don't think anything always works. You know, you get these people who say, well, this is what you do. This, and it works every time. No, it doesn't. Nothing works every time. That's not how things work. They don't work every time. They may work most of the time, but they don't work all the time. Nothing works all the time. Even if you have a job, you'll eventually be fired and you won't be working for a little while. Nothing works all the time. If you have like a flashlight, that's not going to work someday. And you're not going to know it until it doesn't work anymore. The flashlight will shine a bright light of hope. But eventually the batteries will start to die. And it'll become a little bit fainter. And you'll realize at that point, hey, this doesn't work anymore. Now granted, you can get some batteries and throw them into the flashlight and they'll work again. And you can do that 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 times. But after 10 times, the bulb is going to start to die. And the inside's going to get all corroded when the battery acid spills all over it from overuse. And then the flashlight won't work anymore no matter how many batteries you put in that thing. The flashlight just will not work because nothing works all the time. Nothing does. If you trick somebody or you lie to somebody, that'll work a couple of times. After that, it's not going to work. It's going to have the opposite effect, Donald Trump. Nothing works all the time. So don't give me that stuff. So then I started to think, what do I do with the money that I don't have? The money that I've thrown away at the casino, at the convenience store, all those places. Started to think, I need a financial expert. I need to find out how to be smart about money. So I found Paul Golden.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
I'm great. Paul Golden joins us. He's a financial expert with smartaboutmoney.org. And we're talking about overcoming some of the financial challenges in this new year. We've been overcoming financial challenges every year, actually, but this one could be a little more interesting so far. People are concerned. I know that you conducted a survey. What did you find?
We do this every year, and it's a good opportunity for us to kind of get a sense of, you know, how people are feeling in relationship to their money, what kind of goals are setting for themselves, what sort of challenges and setbacks they experienced. You know, what we're finding is that about half of the people say that the quality of their financial life is about what they expect it to be. So good or bad, expectations are kind of right in line. Mm-hmm. But the news isn't all that great. About a third of people say the quality of their financial life is worse than they expect. About half the people say they're living paycheck to paycheck. We looked at gender differences. We find that women, more so than men, are likely to agree with the statements of living paycheck to paycheck and having the quality of their financial life not where they expect it to be. So they're not as optimistic as their financial health. There's a lot of kind of cautious behaviors out there, but people are resolved to kind of do something about it. Our survey finds that 80% of people are resolved to make a financially focused change in the new year.
I don't know when the survey was taken, but obviously the financial situation has been quite interesting within the past couple of weeks.
Right.
Of course, nobody's panicking or anything, but it does kind of set into motion questions about how stable am I? How stable is this?
Yeah, I mean, we this survey is recent, not as recent as everything that's happened this week, even. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's but there has been market volatility all throughout the year.
Sure.
I mean, last year was one of the worst years for the market in the last decade, down 6%. You know, so people have been thinking about market volatility. They've been thinking about tax changes. Housing costs are going up.
Right.
You know, but on a more granular level, people still continue to be focused on the amount of debt that they're carrying and how they can possibly boost their savings, not just retirement and kids' education, but the emergency savings, which continues to be a need more so every year.
Right. Now, when you're planning for the financial future, do you plan into it a possible financial setback? Should that always be part of the equation as a safety net?
Yeah, you absolutely have to, and it's because financial setbacks aren't if they're going to occur, it's when.
Right.
Our survey finds that about, well, every year there's about a 70% probability that something is going to happen that will cause you to be financially set back, and it might be, you know, new tires for the car, or the appliance conks out at the house.
Yeah.
For me, I had a lot of medical expenses with my kid in December, which is fun. But these things happen, and you have to rely on your emergency savings and let it be there to do what it's intended to do. So it's frustrating, but you might have to build up and deplete and build up again your emergency savings several times throughout your life.
Yeah. It's interesting because we've been on an upswing ever since actually 2010, I believe. It's just been improving a little bit every year and then gaining strength like a locomotive. So you kind of lose sight of time kind of makes everything pass. You lose sight of the fact that things aren't always necessarily financially sound. So that is an important part of it, I would assume. So what does one do if they don't know how to approach this?
Yeah, in fact, your original statement, you know, the emergency savings doesn't, you know, financial setbacks don't care if the economy is good or not. They can happen at any time, and that's why we always have to be prepared for them.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am not a big person on resolutions just because, you know, they don't stick. I mean, I still need to lose about 30 pounds.
So, yeah, me too. Raising my hand, raising my hand.
You know, I think as it is with the gym, you know, like it's easier to go to the gym if you have somebody to go with you. Why not have a financial buddy? You know, somebody who knows what you're trying to accomplish, can help hold you accountable, be responsible with you. That can kind of help. I also think that we need to be setting more realistic and achievable goals in terms of our finances. We may want to save X amount of dollars over the course of 2019, but that end goal can seem overwhelming. So why not say, I'm trying to save this much each month, or I'm trying to save this much in the first quarter of the year. Try to break it down to something that seems a little bit more achievable. Same thing with paying off debt. Don't look at it, the overall amount of debt that you need to pay off. Focus on one account or a portion of one account just to show yourself that you can do this, because you can.
I mean, things become more manageable when you're more stable mentally on top of it.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. And, but, you know, there's a lot of positive reinforcement you can give yourself by showing that you're achieving things because you're like, I can, you know, I'm capable here.
Yeah. So, all right. So most of us need help as to actually setting those goals and keeping them small yet achievable. I know we can find financial buddies, but they may not know everything there is to know either.
No, it's true. But, you know, if you find somebody that can help hold you accountable, maybe you can hold them accountable too, and then it becomes a win-win. The thing you don't want is if my goal for 2019 is to not spend as much money, particularly on impulse things, I probably don't want somebody who likes to do retail therapy every weekend.
Or
go out drinking with the buddies. That's probably not going to be my financial counterpart.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's different things you can do. I also think it's a good time of year to, you know, pull credit bureau and, you know, make sure that you understand how lenders are view who you are, you know, from a financial point of view. You know, shop for services. We all are paying for things like cell phones and internet and gym memberships. If you're not using them, get rid of them or downgrade them.
Good point.
But also, you know, shop those things around. You might be able to save some money. You know, I think those are the kind of the things that can make little differences throughout the course of the year.
I agree with you. I mean, in essence, it may just be a few dollars a month, but you add them all up and it's significant. And it's also, it's the attitude. It's not just saving the money. It's thinking in that realm and in that thought pattern all the time.
Yeah, in our survey, we look at financial stressors, and of course, we talked about all the things that are going on in the economic landscape, and of course, people are stressed out about the amount of debt that they owe, but the number one financial stressor on is the ability to save enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if people are able to kind of go through their spending, identify little bits of money that they can put away, I mean, maybe it doesn't make much of a difference, you know, but, you know, even having $500 in an emergency savings, it probably is not going to cover... I mean, every time I take my car into the shop, it's more than $500.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just shows that you've set a goal, you've achieved it, and keep building on top of it. That's what you want to do, is you want to just set little milestones that you can actually meet.
Great. Well, there are all kinds of helps and tips like this. Where can we go to get them?
Yeah, our website, smartaboutmoney.org, is basically designed with the consumer in mind and is non-commercial. There's no selling. Everything's free. But we have everything from articles and tips to calculators, worksheets, and self-paced courses that people can go through, whether you're looking to, you know, pay down debt, establish savings goals, buy a home, whatever life event you're going through, we're trying to meet people there and provide not only an educational experience, but also something that can improve and encourage people, they can encourage people to meet their goals.
Excellent. Well, it's good talking to you, and of course, this is a non-commercial, non-profit situation, so there's, you know, it's not that. It's actual people that actually do want to help you out and send you in the right direction, so thank you for doing that. Paul Golden, one more time, that would be smartaboutmoney.org, am I correct?
That's right, yeah, and just here to, you know, help people out through the journey.
Cool. Paul, thanks a lot, and you have a good one.
Thanks, Ron. Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Well, I can't remember when I had so much fun. It's not because I never had so much fun. It's because I just can't remember. It's a running theme. Actually, this is a closing theme. We're out of time for today. Please join me again tomorrow at whatever time of day you care to join me at when you have time for me. Squeeze me in. That's what I'm about. I get squeezed into things. We're here all the time. New episode every weekday. Okay? All right? Okay. All right. Fine. Wish you peace.